But I need you to know that you need to invest every single day that you may still have, and that you do invest it in the things that don't perish, but in the things that last.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, August 17th, 2025. Pastor Zonia speaking. Today's message is entitled Counting Your Days, and our text comes to us from Psalms chapter 90, verses 10 through 12. And now here is Pastor Zonia.
Well, this morning, this is specifically for Sister Mesa. This is for you, okay, and for everybody else. But there's a text that I like for us to look in the screen. And by the way, back there is the new generation of leaders, Joshua and Alex. Look at them. Look at them. I walked in there today, and they were so different from their father. And I said, what an improvement. It's good to see both of you guys back over there. Thank you. So let's look at Psalms 90 and verses, I believe, verses through 10. What did we tell you? 10 through whatever. Go ahead. Put it up there in the screen. All right. Here we go. This is Psalms 90, verse 10. All right. And it says something like this. The length of our days is 70 years or 80. Hello, everybody. If we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Isn't that a wonderful text to look at? Let's move on. Who knows the power of your anger? For the wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. The next one. Teach us, this is the key, teach us to number our days aright, that we may obtain or we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. May God bless the reading of his word. So my morning sermon is for you and I to think about numbering our days. So everybody, one, two, three, four. It doesn't really mean that way, but it does say that we have an allotted time in this planet, and then we go home. And so we need to think about each day that goes open up and each day that passes, because it's an issue of counting years versus making years count. And we need to make every year that the Lord gives us count for his glory. Sometimes life feels very, very, very long when you're young. Remember when you were young? I remember when I was young. But Scripture reminds us that the grass withers and life is like a vapor and it's like a shadow that passes. And you don't understand that until you dream up a few years. That's why the psalmist, Psalms 90, says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's not a cry of desperation. It's not a cry for information, but it's a cry for transformation in how we live within the time that God gives us. And I am speaking to people who are alive right now, and God has blessed you with life. No matter how old you are, this is a time that you need to seek transformation, to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, numbering your days. Willard says that wisdom is the settled disposition of the soul to act in harmony with reality, with God. That I am going to pursue my life in such a way that I will be honoring God in my life. And numbering our days is not something morbid. It's a gateway to making sure that every day counts, that we may live the life that is available in Jesus Christ so that we can live a life of fulfillment. Jesus said that he had come to give us life and more abundantly. It is his abundant life that we seek in the years that God has given us here on this planet. But we also have to understand that it's not a life in this planet forever. Psalms 90 verses 3 through 6 tells us that life is like the grass. It comes and goes. James echoes the same thing. He says, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's absolutely true. I mean, again, last Sunday I said it. I looked in the mirror and I said, what happened to me? And you look at your mirror and say, what happened to me? And you know, you need to be conscious that something is going on. It's called time. And we are called to number our days, to seek every day that we live a life that acquires wisdom, the ability to deal with reality through God's eyes, the ability to live like people of God's kingdom. I was cleaning my library the other day, and I found a little booklet, little guide. Actually, it was a calendar, 1978. Dear God, 1978. I know, you guys, some of you were not born. I was born before that. And as I looked at it, I saw the pages of the calendar. And you know, there's no way that I can go back to those days. They're gone forever. Every calendar, you tear pages each day, and you cannot put them back on. You can have a memory of it and torture yourself for a while, but that's about it. What I'm saying is, wisdom in acquiring time requires facing reality that we're here for a short time, and in the time that God gives us here, we must cope with, what does God want in my life, and how can I live for the glory of God? Because we're fragile. How many know you're fragile? Good grief. You're temporary in this world. Nadie se queda como semilla. It's absolutely true. And there's going to come a time when you will say goodbye and your time in this earth will be over. And then what? Well, that's why while you're here, the Lord speaks to you as he speaks to me. You need to number your days and gain wisdom how to live with reality. How does God resolve problems in my life? How do I get God involved in my life so that I can live a life that is fulfilling? A great author that I often quote is William Barclay. He wrote a whole series of books, very good. He said that the tragedy of life is not that it may end soon for some people, but that we wait so long to begin it. We wait so long to begin it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And some of us don't do that. This is the day that is grumpy. This is the day that I'm mad. This is the day that this and that and the other. But in reality, seeking wisdom from God, gaining wisdom means facing reality with God's help and making every single day of a life count for the glory of God. So you and I need to recognize that there is a time limit for all of us in this earth. And we need to stop living like we're guaranteeing tomorrow. We need to make this day count for the glory of God. How many are living today for the glory of God, you see? And you're facing issues and problems that can only be resolved by seeking God in your life. And the more you fight God, the less wisdom comes to you, the least ability to face the truth. Psalms 90 frames your life and my life as a limited preparation space. Limited preparation space. It is a training ground for eternity. Training ground for eternity. Because the entire scripture says that the time that we spend here on this earth will impact our life in God's presence when we enter into his glory. Jesus in Matthew 6 says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. There is something about living for eternity, understanding that there's a plan for your life that includes not only today, but throughout eternity, and that this is a training ground, a time of preparation, a time to catch on the reality of God in our lives. The parable of the talents that Jesus taught talks about the responsibility that we have, that he gives you abilities and talents that you must deploy and use for the glory of God. And there's going to come a time when you will be required to give an account of how you use the talents, the ability that God has given you. So it's a brief stewardship, but stewardship nevertheless. We're being trained to work with partnership with God. What are you doing that causes God's wisdom to touch your life? How are you resolving the issues today? How are you putting into practice God's presence in your life? That is so important, so truthfully important. You and I live in eternity right now. We don't have to wait till we die for eternity to take place. Eternity is running along right now. It's running now. We live Him. We live for Him. And if we don't live for Him, then we live for ourselves, and that will perish. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 12, he says, If you have not been trustworthy with worldly wealth, he says, who will trust you with true riches? If we don't really mind God's purposes in our lives today, if we cannot be trusted with what He's given us, what is that going to mean when we enter into the presence of God? I know I may be, I may be saying things you don't want to hear, but I'm telling you the truth. Every single day of a life on my life is geared to a clock, a time. And that's why the scripture admonishes us to number our days, to count our days, to make sure that our heart seeks wisdom, seeks the avenue of God resolving our problems, but not just resolving our problems, living like God would want us to live, a life of abundance. So may I just say to you that this scripture not only tells you to number your days, but it also says to you that you need wisdom in your days, every single day of your life. And, you know, don't despair. I mean, go ahead and look in the mirror and don't despair. Just be shocked, but that's it. But I mean, don't despair, because what you need to do is acquire wisdom and say, how do I live my life now? No matter what age. When I was younger, I used to remember the Ecclesiastes, remember thy creator in the days of your youth. That when you get old, you don't say, oh my God, what did I do with my life? I thank God that I remembered him. And I look back and I say, good grief, I've been serving the Lord all my life. But for better, for worse, I've been there. And some of you have come to know the Lord at a certain time in your life. And from that moment on, you need to be serving Jesus. And you look back at your life before you know the Lord, and you're horrified. But it doesn't count against you. It gives you a perspective that living for Jesus is so much more wanting, so much better, so much productive. So wisdom needs to be acquired, not in desperation, but as a solution to solve the issues of life. Remember that Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of what? Of wisdom. Fear in the sense of understanding, respect, knowing that there is, they call it higher power, knowing that Jesus is really, really the beginning of wisdom. That when Christ comes into your life, wisdom begins to develop. Numbering our days drives us to God, by the way. And by acknowledging that there's a time of reckoning, there's a time when we'll give an account, it closes me to God. And it shows me that God, in spite of all my mistakes, God is love. And God loves me. And His mercy outlasts my brevity of time. That His mercy endures forever. And that God is not going to punish me or put me on the corner or make fun of me, but God loves me dearly and wishes to impart His wisdom, His ability to resolve the issues of life with His reality. I'm telling you, it is so important for you and I to make an assessment of where we are today, make an assessment of our life, and say, Lord, I want to number my days from this moment on in a different way. I want to make sure that you're included in every decision that I make. Every decision that I make as I go through college, as I go through high school, as I go through kindergarten, if you could think of that. Every decision that I make, especially when I'm going to get married. Oh, my God, deliver me from marriage, the wrong one. Lord, give me the wife or the husband that I need that according to your will, Lord. And when you go into business, Lord, give me the job that I need so that I can really be a good steward of the abilities that you've given me so that in the job that I'm at, I can be noteworthy of being one of your servants, one of your children. I'm telling you, living right in the presence of God is not just knowledge. It's not just knowledge. It's living it out. It's not academic. It is putting into practice the ability that God has given you. Some of us have great abilities, and we have the ability to make money. We have the ability to pursue this and pursue the other. And Jesus said, be careful. He says, actually, he said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. There's going to come a time when you will have to give an account for your life. You can't just run and 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 think that it doesn't matter. It all mounts up. It all adds up. So the parable of the rich fool is in Scripture. It shows us that there's a time of accountability, and we need wisdom. We need wisdom to know that we're not going to be here forever and that there will be a moment of judgment in the presence of God. When you and I align ourselves with the reality as God defines it, we're fine. That's wisdom. What does God have to say? What does God have to say about my life? You know, sometimes we feel like we have been done wrong in life, and that we have been discriminated, that we have been put down, that we have been overlooked, that we have been discarded by people, that family members don't like us, that the job is hard, this, that, and the other. And when you read the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing that Jesus says is, you're blessed if you're in the doghouse. Because even if you're in the doghouse, you're worthy of entering into the kingdom of God, whose reality is real, real, real truth. No matter what you have gone through, it's not an excuse for you not to live for God. It is the platform under which God will take your life and will bless you and will strengthen you. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are, and you go and reading the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and you're astonished as to the kind of people that can enter into the kingdom of God and gain wisdom to live like God would want you to live. It's amazing. Living in the reality of his kingdom. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of what? And his what? Righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God is the apparatus, if I can use that word. It is that the whole segment of how God works and how God functions with authority. And righteousness is the ability to carry it through. You're living the right life. There's something about God working in you that when you start counting your days, it's so merciful and so wonderful. But I need you to know that you need to invest every single day that you may still have, and that you do invest it in the things that don't perish, but in the things that last. Paul's teaching on this is very clear. Paul says in Corinthians 5:12, 2 Corinthians, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. There's going to come a time that I'm going to have to stand in the presence of God, and I'm going to have to give an account for the things that I've done in my body. Body is part of me. I don't know what it is to have a disembodied spirit or life. This is me. This body, what we do in this body, needs to be ascertained by God's presence and God's word. And I'm going to have to give an account whether I did something good or whether I did something bad. So we're not off the hook because we're saved, you know. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but just a second. How you get there? You get there the same way all of us get there, but then you have to stand before the Lord, and you will have to give an account of how you carried out God's life. I'm not trying to put fear into your heart. I'm just telling you the truth. You know? Might as well hear it now. So all I can tell you is that the deeds in your body, what you do with your body, what you do with yourself as a person, has eternal significance. Count, Lord, help me to count and number my days, that I can find wisdom in there, that I don't waste my days in stupidities. Did I say that? Yeah. But that we will just come to you, Lord, and say humbly, Lord, help me today. First Corinthians 3, he says that your work, what we do in this life, will be tested by fire, and only those that endure will be rewarded. So there's going to be something about our life and what we do with it that matters to God. That is not just coming to Christ and I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. No. Well, yeah, you go to heaven, but how are you getting there? You got to have a some sort of credibility in your lifestyle, you know, not that you get there because of what you've done or not done, but that there will be a reward, that there will be a reckoning, that there will be a God who says to you, I gave you so much talent, and what did you do? And you're going to say, let the person of the talent, well, Lord, you know, I was afraid of you, and so I had only one talent, so I hid it. And God says, that's horrible. He says, that's wrong. Maybe I should have Andy come and preach. No, Jeff. I'll get him. But the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 15 that we're talking about, daily decisions either build with gold or with straw. We either build it for the glory of God or you don't build it for the glory of God. And straw will be devoured by fire. If you read the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15, you see what I'm talking about. Because lasting wisdom, you build with gold. So all of a sudden, instead of being angry and forgiving, you forgive. You build with gold. Instead of saying, I'm going to let you have it before you let, when you do good for bad. When you return good for evil. When you live the Christian life, you're building for the glory of God. That's so important. Every single day of your life. So you either build with gold, which is with lasting wisdom, or with straw, which is simply wasted time. Wasted time. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, what a man reaps, he will sow. And then he goes on to say, listen to what Paul says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap our harvest if we don't give up. Don't give up serving God, making every day count. Every single day counts beginning right now. Every single day, every opportunity. The first thing most of us need to do is repent, ask God for forgiveness for the wasteful time. The things that we did that are not good, they're straw. Wasted time. Wasted time. So, Lord, help me, we need to say, so that I can sow correctly, because earthly sowing brings eternal reaping. There will be a time when we, in the presence of God, where all of a sudden, even after this very service, I'm not saying it's going to happen or that this is the condition. I'm just using this as an illustration. There's somebody here you don't like. That's impossible. I like all of you, but maybe you got something against somebody or someone in your home. And then today, what you're going to do is you're going to begin the process of forgiveness by going up to that person and saying, God bless you. Or by going into your home or whatever the situation may be, and you start asking for forgiveness, or you begin to forgive in your own heart things that have been wrong to you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been done something wrong that you didn't deserve it? I'm the only one? Oh, my goodness. You need to learn wisdom from God. How God resolves issues. So we forgive. So Jesus says, forgive. And they said, well, how many times should I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus says, it's a good number, but I'll give you a better one. 70 times seven. It's an attitude of the heart. Well, we forgive. So you go on through this whole concept of waiting on the Lord and asking God help as you and I discern our times. And we first discovered that there is brevity of time and the need for wisdom to exercise attitudes and behaviors that mirror the substance of God's kingdom in our hearts. But there's one last thing I need to say, that when the heart is reoriented, there's a great blessing. We need to put on the character of Christ. We really do. And a heart of wisdom is not just simply being effective. It's about living life with love, with humility, and purpose. It's not just being efficient. It's not going through the motions. Ephesians 5:15 through 16 says, be very careful. He says, be very careful. Why? Because some of us are not careful. Be very careful, Paul says. Be very careful. Then how you live. So I have to be careful how I live. Cecilia, you and I have to be careful. Wilma, you and I, you know, we talked about this. We all need to live with wisdom because that's what it says. How do you live? Not as unwise, but wise. And then he goes on to say, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. See, there is a conspiracy against us not to forgive. There's push in the world for us to be denigrated, for us to make mistakes that traps of the enemy and we fall into them. So numbering our days, as Moses says in the Psalm 90 that we'll be reading, leads us, with all my heart I say this, to treasure relationships. Treasure relationships. Treasure relationships, friendships. Treasure them. Not despise them, but treasure them. And for you to actually do that, you may need to also extend forgiveness. Yeah, you do. And in some cases, you need to seek reconciliation. Make it a campaign. Make it a purpose in your life that you're not going to be attacking. Doesn't mean that people can do whatever they want to do with you. You stand firm on the Lord, but you have an attitude of treasuring relationships, of extending forgiveness, and seeking reconciliation. It's not easy, but it's God's way. It's God's way. So when I think about those three things, you know, relationships, forgiveness, and reconciliation, it's a burden that I cannot carry. So I give it over to the Lord. So I say to the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, in all my relationships, the relationship that I have with people in the church, people at work, at the university, in facultad, in my home, my family. Lord, help me to extend forgiveness because I need to live with a heart of forgiveness, because if I don't forgive, how can I expect you to forgive me? That's what this old prayer says. There's a whole synergy there that needs to be understood in our hearts, that whatever a man soweth, he shall also reap. And if I live with a heart of unforgiveness, it's kind of hard to come to God. Jesus said, you know, before you come and give your altar, forgive, and then come. And the one that really is difficult for me at times is to seek reconciliation. But I've overcome that. To seek reconciliation is that I'm willing to hear you out, even when you don't want to hear me out. Reconciliation is towards God, and that's fine. God's reconciled himself with me. I have been reconciled with God. But then I have to reconcile myself with others. But sometimes the most difficult reconciliation act is being reconciled with myself. That God accepts me as I am, and that he loves me, and that he's working on me. So this pushes me, brothers and sisters, to live in the light of eternity, shaping me and shaping you, numbering your days, shaping how I serve, serving how I give, serving how I hope. Silencio, eh? That's true. It's true. It should be true. Now, Jesus Christ himself embodied this wisdom because he lived every single day in obedience to the Father. And we're supposed to be like Jesus, right? And he ultimately surrendered his life to the Father. And he did so that we may gain eternal life. I'm concluding now by saying that a heart of wisdom is a Christ-shaped heart. that's guided by the Holy Spirit and anchored in His Word. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Can I just say amen to that? So when we, as I'm concluding, numbering our days is not about adding more to our calendar, but aligning ourselves with the kingdom of God every single day. Lord, how would you have me live today? Lord, how do I deploy your power in my life? Each day that God gives to you is a gift. You're living a gift of God right now, the gift of life. You do. And it's an opportunity not to waste it, but to reflect the love of God. And reflecting the love of God requires His wisdom and requires a walk with Christ. Lord, help us number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Daily faith, every single day, is participating in the life that Christ gives to you and to me. So we simply say, wisdom in your life and in my life is shown when I deploy justice, kindness, simple obedience to the Lord. Numbering our days places us in the river, in the flow of eternal life with God now, right now. You and I, when we want this heart of wisdom as a Christ-shaped heart, we learn to live every single day in His kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So I conclude. This is the second time I say conclude, right? Numbering our days is not about anxiety, but alignment. Barclay says, the urgency is to begin now. Can't do nothing about yesterday. I tell you, as we begin 39 years ago, I was preaching in my grandfather's church pulpit in Argentina. I can't do nothing about those 39 years that have gone by. But I can do something about today. Not that I have not done. Yeah, it's fine, you know. I'm glad with the 39 years. But I'm saying, today is the day that the Lord has made. Today is when I have to live. Urgency is to begin now to seek wisdom in our daily life. Willard says, reality of eternal life is in the present, right now. I can't go back. And I really can't go forward. I can only live today. So today is the day that the Lord has made. So I pray that the Lord will teach us to number our days, that we may gain not just more years. How many want more years? We all do, but that's not it, especially Andy and Ralph. Not more years, but wise hearts that put God's wisdom, God's processes in place. Oh, may God do this in your life. May you seek the Lord and the Lord teach you to number your days that you may gain a heart of wisdom. So this was specifically for Sister Mesa, but you know this goes for everybody. How many know this is for everybody? It's for everybody. May God have mercy on our soul. Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning for speaking to our hearts and to remind us how much you love us. And how much you used to be involved in everything that we do in life. Now, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would urge us to be in that place where we will be obedient to your voice and that we will not only seek your wisdom, but we will act on it, Lord. Father, there are so many things that surround us as we live, but, Father, we pray for your love to come around us and cause us to see that all things are possible because you're working in our lives, that there is nothing in our lives that you could not resolve, that you cannot address, that there's nothing in our life that cannot be taken care of because you are the reality of life. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Forward, and the Lord will bless us and help us to count our days so that we may find wisdom and seek the Lord with all of our heart. Amen. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord this morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.